Chapter 2, Novice Hack. I didn't know anything about running a business. I was an artist, a dreamer. In short, I was a flake. Not long after landing the job at the Stinky Bulb, I became a business owner for the first time. Opal and I said in college that we'd start a production company when we made it to LA, so that's what we did. For reasons that are beyond me, Opal and I decided we had to register with the Secretary of State in California, get the articles of incorporation necessary to have a legit business on file, and pay crazy taxes and fees. All of this so we could put a novice hack entertainment production at the top of the opening titles in our own movies. We didn't need to open a business, we just needed to keep making movies. But we were young, dumb, and idealistic. We also had our egos and wanted it to be official, so we jumped through more hoops than a dancing circus bear. We both had moms that were being supportive in their own way. My mom would read drafts of my screenplays and give me detailed notes. Opal's mom thought if she was ever going to make it as an actress in Hollywood, she would need a better smile and more perfect teeth. She sent Opal $5,000 and earmarked it for veneers. I wasn't sure which was better, a mom devoted to spending time critiquing my art or a mom who sent cold hard cash. I could have used $5,000. Our company, Novice Hack Entertainment, never made more than a few thousand dollars in a fiscal year. I don't mean income, I mean total revenue for the whole company. So Uncle Sam basically laughed when we tried to pay taxes the next spring. He insisted we keep it. Thank God. Opal had a wild streak of mischief in her, so when April Fool's Day rolled around each year, her friends knew to be extra careful. Her first LA boyfriend, Terrence, didn't know any better. He had just recently started directing porn films in the Valley, a consummate Los Angeles cliche. Opal was in love with him, though, so she took it in stride. When April Fool's Day rolled around, she told Terrence she was pregnant. She liked to have fun. Terrence was stunned. "April Fool's," Opal blurted out, breaking into hysterics at her own joke. Terrence became furious. He told her that wasn't funny, and how could she do such a thing? Then, when she was good and sorry, "April Fool's," he revealed. He wasn't mad at all. They were both joking and laughing, two peas in a pod. Opal told me later she felt lucky to be in such a strong and healthy relationship. A few moments later, Terrence became grave. "Now that I'm directing porn, I can see what's out there, and I'm sorry to say, Opal, but you're just not sexually adventurous enough for me anymore. I want to break up." Opal started laughing. "Good one." Terrence was really getting into the April Fool's Day spirit. He just looked at her. "Wait, you're joking, right?" Opal almost fell for it. "No, I'm not. I want to break up." She cracked up laughing again. He was good. He really committed. "No, seriously." He remained stoic. She cracked up harder. Her sides were hurting. This was fucking hilarious. "I'm not kidding, Opal. I'm sorry." Terrence wanted her to understand. Oh, this was real. The porn director didn't find her sexually adventurous enough? Terrence was the real joke. He was the first boyfriend Opal had been completely faithful to, and he would also be the last. She felt like the April Fool now. We both craved a distraction. We decided what we needed most was a camera of our own so we could shoot anything we wanted whenever we wanted. That was the whole point of this thing after all, to make movies. But we were flat broke. Opal declared her teeth were fine and used the $5,000 her mom sent for veneers to get us our very first company camera instead. Sorry, Opal's mom. When the camera arrived, we bought it to Wanda's house because I figured if we were going to learn how this thing worked, I might as well be stoned. Opal didn't smoke pot, but she knew there was no stopping me. Wanda was more than happy to oblige, packing up bowls as we unpacked our camera. We tried to put the camera together. Opal grew more and more impatient as I grew more and more stoned. She hated to follow directions as much as I hated sobriety. Finally, getting the hang of this thing, we powered the camera on. I surged with excitement. There was a slow motion feature that blew both our minds at the time. Then we discovered HD. Opal and Wanda both wanted to be filmed and giggled, asking, "How do we look in high def?" High def was just becoming a thing then, so we were all beside ourselves. We really were filmmakers now. After that day, Wanda expressed her interest in joining up with Novice Hack. I was all for it. We'd been friends for years, worked together in college, and got along great. Opal was more hesitant. The two of them had a more catfighty vibe in college, and as Opal put it, "I'm just not really sure what expertise she can bring to the table besides her overpriced cinema degree with honors and a 10-year-old Cheetos commercial." Opal was queen of the zingers. But we forged ahead. Wanda joined our ranks, and Novice Hack was fully formed. For 2 years, I lived the life of a struggling artist. We dabbled in drugs. Besides pot, that's just a plant. Mostly at Wanda's urging, and started to live the California dream. In California, everything slows way down. I was used to Connecticut and Ohio, where the turnings of the seasons mark the passing of time, each harsh winter engraving another year onto your soul. But time seemed to stand still in California. The plants are dusty from the lack of rain in LA. The air is heavy with smog, making you feel almost encased. Rock and sand make up the monotonous landscape. It is virtually treeless, except for artificially transplanted palm trees, tropical refugees hung up over the boulevards like fancy drapes to help spruce up the place. In Hollywood, even the landscape is just set dressing. Opal and I were very work-focused. Wanda would get us all an 8-ball, not the kind that told fortunes, but the kind that costed one. Wanda, Opal, and I would snort lines and endlessly talk about ideas for shows and projects. I was just a dabbler then. I was single, but I didn't want to get dumped by a hack porn director one day like Opal, so I had some work to do. I decided I had to become more adventurous sexually. Anything to break up the monotony. One Friday afternoon, I was finishing up a shift at the Stinky Bulb when a sexy young 20-something hottie came in with his mother. I knew instantly he was gay, even though he didn't have any of the attention-grabbing flamer qualities like some of the flashier mo's among us do. I knew because we can somehow just tell, as if we have some kind of evolutionary adaptation that allows us to find each other in the storm of life, so we aren't marginalized alone. Like the signal sent between flocks of birds to let them know where to migrate. This way, gay, this way, follow the rainbow flags. We call it gaydar. We made eye contact before the hostess sat him and his mother at their table. In my world, eye contact with another mo usually means we are having sex next. So I hung out with the girls at the host stand and waited for his inevitable return to use the bathroom. Right on cue, he came back to the lobby and entered the men's room. We locked eyes again. Game fucking on. I followed him in. We stood next to each other at the urinals, dicks out. I looked at his glory unashamedly. He turned it toward me. I sank to my knees and began to go to town. Another patron could have walked in on us any time. Who cared? My shift was almost over. After a few moments, he pulled me to my feet and dropped to his knees. He returned the favor. Wordless, we zipped up. He rejoined the table with his mother. He wasn't sitting in my section, but I brought them some fresh breadsticks for kicks. We both smiled. His mother had no idea why. We never actually spoke. I clocked out and went home. I was supposed to be making movies. It was a balmy, breezy summer day in Los Angeles every day of the year. The morning I started slinging green there was no different. This was a city whose majesty and allure lay in her reputation alone, because like any Vegas go-go dancer, she looked much, much worse when you got right up close. Her seedy underbelly had been my home for about a year now. Novice Hack wasn't making us any real money. We wanted to make films because we loved it, not because we got paid to do it, though we all yearned for that dam to finally break and prosperity to rain down upon us. It had been a month since I was promoted to bar manager at the Garlic Hub, a position I held for exactly 4 hours and 20 minutes before being stung and demoted back to lowly bartender. I was still chafing from the quickest rise to power and subsequent fall from grace in the history of restaurant management when Wanda handed me a fatty that her roommate's brother had rolled for us. Inhale, cough like crazy, inhaler, relax a little. I have asthma, so the coughing part was a given, but that didn't stop me. I had my trusty inhaler. The doobie floated around the intimate gathering to Lydia, Wanda's roommate, her brother Dirk, over to Wanda, and then back to me. Inhale deeply again, cough again, inhaler again, relax a little bit more. Puff, pass, inhaler, relax, repeat. This was one of my favorite rituals, especially when I was feeling low. Novice Hack was making no money and sucking plenty of time. I seemed to have reached as far as I could go at the Stinky Bulb. Single, broke, losing hope in my dreams, and cursed with perpetual garlic breath thanks to my only source of reliable income, I was coming to my wit's end. Inhale, Bogart the fatty this time. Inhale again, pretending I don't see my friends glaring. Cough up a lung. Use inhaler again. Feel great. For a few minutes more, anyway. I needed a better job, or a higher-paying one, at least. Dirk knew a guy who wanted to move more weight on the west side where Wanda lived. She had the connection and I had the experience from my college days, so a modest side business was born. Wanda and I started flipping pot that weekend. The two of us drove around in her Saab, windows up or down, it didn't matter, smoking doobie after doobie while delivering pot to our friends. We weren't criminals, we were just having some fun. but we weren't making any movies either. It was time for a change. So I quit my day job.